Lowe's early Black Friday deals are going fast. Don't miss up to 50% off select major appliances. Plus, up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. And with Christmas around the corner, you're going to need more string lights, right? Save $4 on GE LED 100-count string lights, now just $5.98. Lowe's, we help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
In the U.S., Thanksgiving is a time to gather with family, stuff yourself with delicious sides, and, according to this legend, protect yourself from an enormous 500-pound turkey. This feathered monster terrorizes the hills of the American Northwest, wreaking havoc on hunters and their automobiles. But is it really something to fear, or nothing more than gobbledygook? This week's episode is The Gobble Squatch.
In the night, your heart fills with dread. Probably a murderer who wants you dead. It could be a ghost, a demon, or worse. Perhaps you're the victim of a witch's curse. It's hopeless, you're doomed. You'd call a priest if you could. You'd rather just listen to who? Sinister Who?
The legend is unleashed.
Oh, I'm so excited that the masses will hear about what Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving is really about how colonial English people just destroyed an entire nation and just really, you know, pillaged and raped the land. But if you don't want to sit around and talk about that this Thanksgiving, yes. The Gobble Squatch is a great alternative.
I think go tell your family. Start off with like a summary of the People's History of the United States by Howard Zinn. Always a good one. And then also throw in, hey, guys, did you know about this 500-pound bird that's almost as destructive as the pilgrims were? And I'll tell you what. I didn't know about it. You didn't know about it until 5 years ago when we covered this as a minisode.
Years ago. Wait. Is this during lockdown?
Yeah. November 2020.
Damn,
I don't know if it was lockdown, but we were still social distancing and having like...
Take a journey back in time to those yes. days, see what we have to say about that.
I do remember, let's drop our Thanksgiving food off on each other's porches and celebrate via Zoom kind of stuff. So this is a memory lane. But the thing about the Gobble Squatch is that I feel like it's timeless. So it's always a good time to bust it out.
He's
evergreen forever. But we thought it was a perfect time. We're taking a break for Thanksgiving. We both have family obligations and fun stuff to do. So we hope you are too and taking the week to relax as much as you can. Or if you're working through it, may you work so hard all the way through it and get a big paycheck at the end of it. Yes. I'm sorry if you are having to work.
Me too. Especially on Thursday. Mm-hmm. If you go out and you encounter someone that is working and you're buying from them, be extra nice. And Friday. Friday is a goddamn nightmare for people in the retail world. So be extra kind to them.
We all need to stand up for our retail brethren who are having to work on these days and understand that it's not us versus them, the workers of the store. It's all of us versus the management and the owners of the store.
Yeah.
And that I'd say that to I'm a regular at a breakfast place and I'm like, do you need me to bitch about anything? Do you guys have anything you're upset about? Make a list. I'll complain to the manager on your behalf. So white women, Karen for good this holiday
Karen
season.
Karen for good.
Karen for good. Ask the employees, do you need anything? Do you want me to tell them? I think they need more breaks. I don't want a bunch of people standing around. I need them to let them off every five minutes.
You get a 30-minute break.
Let's Karen for good this year. But we wanted to also invite you all, if you are unfamiliar with our Patreon, this is the kind of stuff we do on it. We have minisodes, bonus content, live streams, and as a special treat, we're bringing you this investigative backstory on this legendary creature of the Gobble Squatch.
I mean, this was on the boots ground journalism to really cover this one. But this is the perfect time to get an annual membership, gift an annual membership, because this is our biggest sale of the year.
It is. It's 20% off a new annual membership when you use the code November. Now through the end of November, it works at any tier. You get ad-free episodes, bonus content, live streams, behind-the-scenes stuff, archives of minisodes like this, and all bonus content and more. And you just mentioned gifting, and we've got some good news about gifting.
Oh, do we? We We have some good holiday news from our friends over at Patreon that we wanted to pass along, especially for those of you who've been asking about gifting memberships this season. They heard our request and said, bet.
They've answered our call. They've rolled out this new feature. So if you're currently an active paid member, you can redeem a gifted membership without losing your existing one. In layman's terms, basically before it might have caused some like pausing, some just whatever. Now, when someone gifts you a year of Sinisterhood, your current paid membership pauses. The gift runs its course. And then when the gift ends, your regular membership starts back up again. So there's no weird overlap, no double charges, no fuss, any of that. It's just a clean way for you to receive or give a membership during the holidays. It's a perfect the perfect gift that keeps on giving.
Every time they open the app, they're gonna think of you, which is hopefully a lot. I mean, it could be every day for a long time because there's so much bonus content on there. So if you've been waiting to if you've been wanting to surprise a friend with bonus episodes, ask Santa to fill your stocking with an annual membership, send someone some spooky cheer in the form of Judge Christie, ad-free episodes, and all the other good stuff, it couldn't be easier to do. We'll put the link in the show notes so you can check it out.
Yeah, we can't wait for you to give the gift of Patreon because it means that they get to join a community as well. And so we'll get to interact with them in the chats. That's our favorite part of Patreon is the relationships we get to strike up with all of 100%. You and all the inside jokes we all have with each other through Sunday Scaries, through our live Q&As, our bonus content, all that. So we cannot wait to see all the new friends we have. So thank you so much for thinking of us when you're giving gifts this year. We'll be back next week with part two on the murder of Pauline Pusser and the truth about Buford. But for now, let us journey back and revel in the mystery of the gobble squatch.
Squatch is a hard word to type over and over. And it, do you have certain words that are just like hard for you to spell?
Initiative.
Initiative is a hard one.
Can't get it.
Initiative is a hard one. But the more I kept typing squatch, every time I would mess it up. It was driving me nuts.
I kept saying gobble snatch.
Yeah. And then I was like, I should just call it gobble snatch because snatch is easier to write than squatch.
Yeah. Gobble snatch also sounds a lot more fun than this gobble squatch.
That's, gobble snatch is a whole other episode. That's
it's a whole other portion of the internet.
Yeah. What's another word that's tongue used to be a hard one for me.
Tongue.
I always wanted to spell it T-O-U-N.
It's tough. I do that too.
T-O-N-G-U-E. Yeah.
Yeah. Business. Sometimes you put the I before the S. Also,
restaurant. Restaurant always fucks me up.
I have to say restaurant. Like, yeah. I say it that way when I type it or write it out. Effect and effect. I can't.
They can both fuck off real hard.
You'll notice I say impact a lot. Like, yes. It's just a thing that impacts people never know.
I have to look it up. I've looked it up so many times and I still don't understand the explanations. And then it'll be like, just use this word. That sounds good. It's usually EFF from what I've read. It's but sometimes it is affect. So, yeah, and it's a hard one for sure. Yeah,
for sure. And squatch is right up there.
Squatch, squatch. Yeah, this is a fun one to do. We wanted to do something fun for – we did the – well, this will come out. It'll come out on the same day. Nope. This will come out the day after the newest episode, Thanksgiving Day Murders episode. Mm-hmm.
So you get
that was a
sad Thanksgiving murder and a fun, wacky Thanksgiving legend.
You can all sit around your Thanksgiving table and listen to the legend of the Gobble Squatch Snatch. Oh, all righty. Let's get into it. According to Urban Legends Online, the real reason Americans celebrate Thanksgiving every November has nothing to do with pilgrims or giving thanks. Instead, a post on the site dated November 2011 refers to a 2009 paper entitled Gobble Squatch, Giant Drumsticks or Dumb Shticks by Professor Wesley Wimscott that he presented to the Paranormal History, Sightings, Stories, and Wonders Symposium in 2009, also known as PSHA.
Okay.
This paper allegedly revealed the true meaning of Thanksgiving, hunting turkeys to protect ourselves from an enormous feathered monster, the Gobble Squatch. I love that their acronym is PSHA,
because it sounds like something you'd say if you're just like, psh, like so over something, or you're like, that's such bullshit. Psh.
It's a haunted turkey. Pshaw.
And there are the paranormal history sighting stories and wonders. Pshaw. I feel like that's the opposite of the impression they want to give people. They're trying to be a serious organization.
It should be, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Somehow.
Yeah.
Indeed. We call ourselves Indeed.
The good professor supposedly traced the origin of Thanksgiving centuries back to indigenous people of modern-day Virginia, much like the usual tale. But the summary of Wimscott's findings refers to
one of the nations endemic to the region, called the Catawba, which means feather as long as a tree in that language,
who held an annual turkey hunt in the fall. The purpose of the indigenous people's November turkey pursuit was not to give thanks or enjoy a savory dinner, but instead to save themselves and their families from the treacherous, towering threat of the gobble-squatch. The giant bird allegedly stands an impressive 14 feet tall and weighs 500 pounds. He has a waddle he can use to smack hunters who get too close, and his thunderous body is capable of squishing a person or damaging a car. Same right now. Gobble-squatch's original stomping grounds were the Blue Ridge Mountains. However, after being relentlessly persecuted by hunters, the giant gobbler headed for the American Northwest, where he found comfort in the hairy arms of fellow cryptid, Bigfoot. In fact, according to a 2011 SoundCloud recording, Gobble-squatch is now Bigfoot's pet turkey.
That's so nice that Bigfoot chose to take him as a pet and not eat him.
Especially given Gobble-squatch is significantly larger than Bigfoot.
For sure. Bigfoot's what?
Bigfoot's
7
just
to 12?
A big man. Yeah, he's just like a large man.
And this is 14 feet. And I think Bigfoot's usually described as about 300 pounds. This is 14 foot tall and 500 pounds. It's huge.
Yeah.
Maybe he really rides on his back.
Oh, yes. Bigfoot rides around on Gobble-squatch to get around places. I bet he does.
It would be. Can you imagine how fast big birds can move fast, like an ostrich or something? Imagine how big this guy can run.
Yeah. Well, he just is, even if he's walking, just his stride is going to be very large. Did you know that I didn't know flamingos could fly until a couple weeks ago?
No clue. Had no clue they could fly.
Really? Because I'm glad I'm not alone.
I thought they were water birds.
They apparently do not fly a lot. Like, because I was like, well, then how did they not fly out of the Dallas Zoo? Because they're just open in that enclosure, you know, it's not like there's a top to it. And according to the internet, if they have a source of food and water and community, then they don't really have a reason to fly. So they'll just stay around. But I guess technically they could fly around at the zoo at night. And that's fun.
I love that that also it requires the zoo to provide them with decent food, water, and community because they can bounce. If they don't like it, they're just fucking
they
leave.
Yeah. They also are probably like, we're going to stay here because the lions are not too far off. They know where. But I like to think that they just fly around the zoo at night.
Mm-hmm. Have fun.
On some sort of Madagascar type adventure.
And visit their friends.
And they're not really pink. It's the shrimp that they eat affects their coloring.
I knew that only because in fourth grade, I did a diorama of a pink flamingo and I made it in a shoebox and I made like a little nest and I had a little M&M as the egg. And my mom still has that diorama and I'm pretty sure the M&M is still there.
The M&M's still there?
From like fourth grade. But that's the only reason why I know about the shrimp part. Although, why would I have learned the shrimp thing and not the flying thing? I was apparently not a thorough diorama maker.
I thought you were going to say you put a shrimp in the nest, but we don't want that shrimp still around from fourth grade.
And we whited it out. We painted the M&M white with white out, so I couldn't even eat it. So that's why the M&M's still there. Otherwise, it would have been gone.
Yeah, sure. For sure.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back. As the air turns crisp and the holidays draw near, comfort becomes the best gift of all, and Quince is our go-to for quality essentials that feel cozy, look refined, and won't blow your budget.
We're talking $50 Mongolian cashmere sweaters, denim that fits like it was made just for you, and outerwear that looks and feels designer, but at a fraction of the price. Their wool coats are seriously stunning, and the quality rivals brands that charge double or more.
Quince works directly with ethical, top-tier factories and cuts out the middlemen, so you get those elevated, long-lasting pieces without the markup. Everything they make feels intentional and well-made, like the kind of staples you'll wear on repeat. Smart, stylish, and totally worth it. The thing about Quince is I feel like I look too nice when I go to like Thanksgiving or my family events, and I'm like, y'all go start asking me for money, and I've got to look trashier. I don't want to be like, this is affordability, okay? This is elegant affordability.
That's the thing with Quince. You look like you just stepped out of some designer mall. The reality is you got to order from the comfort of your own home and pay a fraction of the cost. Recently, I got the cutest little skirt. It's the lightweight Crepe A-line mini skirt. I got it in maroon. Wear it over black tights with some little black beardies, plus my black V-neck Mongolian cashmere sweater from Quince. Dress it up with some jewelry. You're ready to go for whatever holiday party you got to go to.
I was going
to
say holiday parties can be so stressful because you're like, what do I want to wear? And I don't know. And I want to look nice, but people might be like, where did you get that off of a mannequin somewhere? It's like, no, I got it from a classy factory that is ethical and top tier. So go to Quince, baby, and look hot like we do.
Step into the holiday season with layers made to feel good, look polished, and last from Quince. Perfect for gifting or keeping for yourself. Go to quince.com/creepy for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. Now available in Canada, too. That's quince.com/creepy to get free shipping and 365-day returns. Quince.com/creepy. It's the perfect gift for the holidays.
Initially, Gobble Squatch was hunted because of his enormity and aggression. But according to Visit Cryptoville, in order for locals to save their families, simply hunting the main Gobble Squatch was not enough. Instead, those native to the area hunted turkeys each fall to thin the flock and to prevent the growth of a future giant turkey monster. Yeah, I mean, you don't know which one's going to turn on you.
This is sad, though, because it's almost like hunting gorillas to prevent a King Kong.
It's a definite culling of a species, like the horrible ones that happen over in Japan with the dolphins and all. Oh my God, that's monstrous. Sightings of the Virginian towering turkey date back to as early as 1672. When a young man named Ezekiel Fitzgerald was hanged for heresy after declaring he saw a giant bird with a
wingspan greater than the throne of the Almighty,
according to Urban Legends Online. You could be hanged for anything back in the day.
I mean, if you let a fart the wrong way, they're like, the devil is coming from your loins. Yeah. I mean, it was donezo.
You're like, I saw a giant bird who's just off the cuff. Bigger than the throne of the Almighty. Oh, he's dabbing our Lord and Savior.
She's a witch. Put him up on the...
Yes. Yeah, exactly. You could either be burned or hanged for anything. I would have absolutely been burned as a witch.
The thing, I feel like for mouthy people, they stick you in with your head.
Oh,
with
yeah.
The stalks. They what go in the called? Stalks.
The stalks, yeah.
And they throw
yeah.
tomatoes at your head.
Or get the guillotine.
God.
The guillotine was that, wow.
Can you
how
imagine?
How far we've come in ways we kill people, right? Am I right?
But people show up to watch that and hang.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they didn't have TV.
That's true.
That was their form of entertainment. Very morbid. Take the kids, pile the kids up in the on the donkey, just go down to the town square and watch the local hanging.
If you're bad, Timothy, that'll happen to you.
It was the original... we say that all urban legends are were to keep kids in line. These were not urban legends. These were just real things that were happening to
deterrence.
People.
If you're the town drunk, that'll happen to you.
Mm-hmm. In 1861, a Virginian lumber company refused to remove trees in the Mount Mitchell area after they reported
frightening falsetto rumblings, constant thunder as of giant beating wings, and an unclearable mound of white-stained excrement beneath the branches of the most desirable trees.
According to Urban Legends Online.
Yeah, oh, gross. Leave those trees behind.
Anything that involves white stained excrement, I think you bail.
I think unclearable mounds is what got me, because nowadays you have those like those scooper like caterpillar machines, and back then it was dudes and shovels only.
Yeah,
maybe a horse drawn carriage or wagon or something, but
mounds of white stained excrement.
Sick.
Those are not. I mean, I guess the gobble squatch has his favorite trees too.
Yeah,
the most desirable trees.
You know what, though? He's helping stop deforestation. So Gobble Squatch is a hero.
That's true.
I think he's a champion of nature because he's keeping deforestation from happening. He's like Recyclops. He's preventing the destruction of our environment. And you should not hunt, or maybe that's why they're hunting him. People are trying to destroy the environment, and he's trying to stop them.
That's true. He is a step away from handcuffing his talons to one of these giant trees and just refusing to be removed.
That's right. It's GETA. It's Gobble Squatch for the Ethical Treatment of Animals.
Throughout the centuries, the Gobble Squatch has also had an impact on some of America's most famous historical figures, including Thomas Jefferson and airplane inventors Orville and Wilbur Wright. Jefferson supposedly used the word gobbledygook, a word now used to indicate nonsense, but in the 1700s, was understood to mean those who denied the existence of the Gobble Squatch. The Wright brothers were allegedly inspired by the Gobble Squatch's enormous wingspan in designing their very first aircraft.
I do have to say I went down a bit of a rabbit hole on gobbledygook, and I don't want to shock you, but I think at least this portion of the tale may be not accurate.
What?
Maybe
you're speaking gobbledygook right now, Heather. You don't know what you're talking about. I also wanted to ask you how you feel about the word gobbledygook.
I hate it because I know
you don't like nonsense words.
I hate it. It makes me sick. It hurt to write it, and it hurt even more to research it.
It hurts to hear it.
Boogie, woogie, any of those things make me just nauseated.
What is what's another one?
I think that's probably...
I just had it. It starts with an S. Like if you're... Is smorgasbord a word?
Smorgasbord?
That's a real word, though.
I went to a place one time in around the D.C. area called the Horn and Horn Smorgasbord, and it was awesome. It was like a buffet. It was so good. I think a smorgasbord is a type of a buffet.
That's a real word. It's just a funny word.
Yeah, it's a
silly
word.
Like supercalifragilisticexpialidocious?
Oh, I like that song. I'm into that. That's okay.
So that's a made up word.
I think
that's
the ooh sound that makes me sick. Because I also don't like
woolly
bully. It
gives a bad mouth feel to say it.
That's a good way to put it. It's a mouth feel thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that.
Or even the auditory. You imagine like what that feels like in that person's mouth. Yeah. It's someone who has a lot of auditory hangups. I get it.
Thank you. Thank you for not judging me and be like, it's just a word.
No. Words and sounds are a thing for sure.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
The giant bird also had an effect well into the 1900s. Urban Legends Online reports that a May 1967 encounter with the Gobble Squatch was all it took for some local hippies to kick their ganja habit and make the switch to a different kind of herbal pleasure. Urban Legends Online quotes the local hippie commune founder, Zeke Zapper Sternbaum, as saying,
"We took up on green tea now. That marijuana stuff was making us see huge turkeys that pecked holes in our VW camper and swallowed our sleeping bags whole."
Ooh. Been there, brother.
You had the encounter with the Gobble Squatch. That's good stuff.
I'll tell you what, you don't bail on that. That's stuff you lean into.
explore it more. I would be worried about Gobble Squatch's intestines swallowing sleeping bags.
Yeah. Well, he's got that wattle on their throat and a skinny little neck, so you'd be worried something might get stuck in there.
Yeah, I would hope not. Sounds like he survived, though, because he's well into the modern day.
We keep calling him he.
It's true. We don't know.
We don't know what his...
It could be a lady.
How he identified, how they identified. Could have been a lady. I like to think that it was.
Yeah. Well, if you lay eggs, then Does that make you a lady turkey?
I think so. I mean, with chickens, female chickens lay eggs. The male the male is the rooster.
If the rooster is having sex with a hen, then who's having sex with the chicken?
Uh-huh, exactly. As recently as 2008, mentions of the gobble squatch have been recorded. According to Urban Legends Online, during the Space Shuttle's 2008 mission, astronaut Leland Melva, a native of Lynchburg, Virginia, supposedly remarked,
"Well, geez-em, look at the Great Lakes from up here. It looks like a giant claw print from gobble squatch, and it's headed west."
I bet everything looks, you get a bird's eye view, no pun intended, of up there in space. You can see, you figure out a lot of stuff.
You start seeing things up there, seeing things in space.
Man, if you could go to space, would you?
Yeah, for sure, I think.
For sure you think.
For sure I think. I was for sure excited about it, and then I thought, I really don't like not being able to go to the bathroom.
I don't know how they go, but I'm sure they go.
They have, like, sucker things.
That they put up to their
hoo-hoo or weenies, and then the air sucks the stuff out of you.
So it's like a oxygen mask for your cooter?
Yes, it's like...
And then you pee into it, and it sucks the gobble, it out?
They call it a gobble snatch.
That's the gobble snatch. What about your beehole?
I think it's the same thing.
No. I bet it's like a airplane bathroom, but it sucks it out. But it's like a vacuum that sucks.
Yeah, because otherwise it floats around.
It'll shoot back up on your butt.
Yeah, it would float up onto you and all around. So you have to, it has to, it's like
toy. Oh, man. Or yeah, I bet you, yeah, you probably have to sit on some kind of suction thing.
You know what?
So your butt's totally suction. I'm going to YouTube some stuff after this.
I changed my answer. I definitely want to go to space. Yeah. I get to sit on a gobble snatch. Sure.
Well, the gobble squatch has allegedly been around for centuries. Its first mention online was in the singular article from Urban Legends Online, dated November 18th, 2011. However, no other websites online mention gobble squatch, Professor Wimscott, his famous research paper, or the symposium at which it was presented. Urban Legends Online notes at the bottom of the post that the story was user-submitted by a man named Dave DeAndrea from North Bend, Oregon. A quick search of the name shows DeAndrea is a professional voice actor.
I felt like a real sleuth finding all this stuff. Yeah.
If he really wanted it to be taken super seriously, you could have hidden that a little easier.
And you could have made like a fake paper and symposium website. It depends on how hard you want to go into this
yeah.
bit.
Yeah. Yes.
But always commit to the bit.
Mm-hmm. Around the same time in November 2011, illustrator Josh Kinfield posted an illustration on his blog of gobble squatch that he drew. The accompanying caption reads,
"In mid-February, I was commissioned by voice actor Dave DeAndrea, the voice of Axe Cop, to produce an illustration of the gobble squatch, Bigfoot's pet turkey. It's part of an audio advertising campaign Dave produced."
Well, let's add Axe Cop to the list of things we're definitely going to watch.
Axe Cop is great.
You've watched it?
I used to watch it. It was on, if I'm not mistaken, it was on Cartoon Network, but I have at least seen, it's funny. It's quite funny.
It's a cartoon?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Okay, it's real silly. Picturing it was a horror movie.
Or it was like an axe that like has a cop hat on, but it's a cop that uses an axe. It's really cool.
Which one is it?
It's a cop that has an axe. Yeah. He's a man. He has like a real hairy chest and he wears like mirrored glasses. It's probably been since college years since I've seen it. Yeah.
Nice.
But also way to go, that. Josh Kinfield fucking fronting him out. I mean, like, oh yeah, he told me to draw this for him. Yeah. It's a really good illustration though.
It is. We will post a picture of it. It's quite funny. Kinfield leaks to a recording titled Gobble Squatch Commercial. In it, Zeke, a man with a southern accent, explains how he and his
buddy Squeegee
were out on a hunt when they were attacked by an enormous turkey called Gobble Squatch, Bigfoot's pet turkey. Zeke then says Squeegee recommended that Zeke take his turkey dinner truck to Burger's Top Service Body Shop, located at 180 Ingersoll Street in Coos Bay, Oregon.
You know what? Burger's Top Service Body Shop got their money's worth out of this ad.
If you live in the Coos Bay, Oregon area, please tell them we sent you.
We get
not
it.
Not Gobble Squatch.
I just want a chance to go to Coos Bay.
I bet it's beautiful.
Oregon's
gorgeous,
there.
Yeah. Whatever happened to Professor Wimscott? According to Urban Legends Online, Wimscott's original publication was deemed
ultra secret
by Pasha, making it nearly impossible for Gobblesquatch truthers to get their hands on. Even more puzzling is that Wimscott himself has, in fact, disappeared.
Dun, dun, dun!
In 2010, the professor traveled to the majestic Blue Ridge Mountains in search of the elusive Gobblesquatch. No one has heard from him since. However, he kept a diary during his journey that might provide an important clue as to his whereabouts. His last entry reads,
"Found a nest. Measured 14 by 12 and a half feet wide. Will infiltrate as an egg."
Later, when Wimscott's campsite was located, styrofoam scraps were found, presumably used to construct Wimscott's man-sized Gobblesquatch egg. Sadly, engineers have determined such material would be no match for a 500-pound sitting bird.
Rest in peace, Professor Wimscott.
Oh, gosh, what a way to go.
You may be an expert in cryptozoology, but not in engineering.
No, you got it. That's a ton of styrofoam to haul up to the top of a mountain,
and
too.
Not biodegradable, and you're leaving a big mess mm-hmm. on the top of the mountain.
You are. That's true. And then it's so crumbly.
That's true.
You barely step on that. There's tons of tiny pieces go everywhere. You think a big-ass bird's butt isn't going to just shatter that thing and then kill
immediately,
you?
Immediately. Right away. Did you have to do in school, in kindergarten, we had to do an egg drop. Did you have to do that? Where you take an egg, a standard chicken egg, and then you have to construct a home for it, and then they huck it off the roof, and then whoever's egg doesn't break, you get a prize, I guess. I don't remember.
No, but I've seen it on TV.
Yeah, we had to do that. My egg broke. I can't remember what my construction was.
So you put something around it to protect it.
Yeah, so like one kid's dad did, and that's the other thing. You're a fucking kindergartner. There's a 0% chance.
I mean, this is how dad gets his engineering jollies off.
Because, if you have it like, it's a shoebox with a bunch of tissues in it and an egg, you're like, a kid thought of that. But the one that won was like a styrofoam box outside. Inside, it was rubber bands from every corner suspending the egg in the middle.
I've seen those, yeah.
And so then when you hucked it off, it was fine.
Yeah, no kid made that.
Fucking cheating ass. No.
I'd put a little parachute on it.
And some people did that. That helped a lot. It depends on, you had to have a really good parachute because some of the parachutes were weak and it just dropped like a rock. But the better ones would float gently down.
Did they have frying pans at the bottom? So at least the eggs didn't go to waste.
They were fully wasted. It was very wasted. Because there's like 25 kids in the class. You just wasted 2 dozen
That's
eggs.
That's so many eggs y'all could have eaten.
Well, I think the 3 or 4 survived, although I don't know what you do with them.
That's something that if I went to a private school, so we didn't get to do fun stuff like that. But
that's very public school, like, let's hook some eggs off the roof.
My brothers did, and I feel like they probably did that. My brother, Zach, the middle of us, was also in Destination Imagination? That's not what it was called, but it's probably the same thing. Where you, like, invent stuff, and you go to these, like, UIL competitions, and there's, he wasn't real into that, and so he would invent stuff for that. But I also remember him in elementary school, they would have like inventor day or a science fair or something. And so they would have to bring things that would help. We did that too. Now that I'm thinking about it, I remember he made one thing. I think it won to help teachers with erasing. And he just put a broomstick on the end of a chalkboard eraser.
That's genius though. It's so simple.
Sometimes it's the simple things. I don't remember myself ever making those things, though.
I had to invent something for 4th grade, and I invented a Beatles board game. And technically, that's an invention.
and one that's real.
Yeah,
I think
it was
a Beatles Monopoly game. Yeah,
it was a trivia game. It was a Beatles day-by-day trivia game. You get to advance.
I hope you still have that somewhere. I'll play that.
I bet my mom has it. You know how she don't. She don't do nothing.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
So is this online urban legend just the clever concoction of a smooth-voiced promoter who faked his own character's death to put an end to the story? Perhaps not entirely. For centuries, Native Americans and settlers from Canada, all the way down to South America, have spotted enormous bird-like creatures. Known as thunderbirds, these creatures flap their wings with such force that it creates a thunderous-type sound.
I feel like bird cryptids are somehow scarier than, like, walking Bigfoot-type cryptids or even under-the-water cryptids, because a bird cryptid can grab you and fly you so far away.
Yeah. Talons are freaky.
Yeah.
Well, birds, you're not safe on the ground or, like, they can get you anywhere.
Yes.
If you can't, like, climb a tree and get it, like you could get away from, like, a ground cryptid, the bird can just fly up and get you. Yeah, and being carried off somewhere to a giant nest on top of a mountain, that's terrifying.
And if they've got you by their claws, you can't fight back because their talons are sharp and their feet are strong.
Big Bend National Park, located in Texas, was also home to a giant bird spotting in 1972. According to the website Animalian, it was an appearance by Quetzalcoatlus, an enormous flying pterosaur. A featherless bat-like creature, pterosaurs, from Greek, the meaning wing lizard, are less like turkeys and more like dinosaurs. Could the gobblesquatch be a prehistoric dinosaur creature evolved or crossbred with a common turkey?
I mean, I don't think now we've decided that giant bird is scary. Giant dinosaur flying bird is scarier.
Also, I hope that turkey was on top. Because that... I always... If you ever see, like, a Dalmatian and a Chihuahua mix, you're like, oh, gosh, I hope that Chihuahua was doing all the work there. My
Otherwise.
Goodness. Woo. Yeah. So, I think just from... logistics standpoint, the turkey would have to be behind this dinosaur.
Hopefully.
I'm assuming they're not face to face. Aren't the only creatures that have make love face to face humans and dolphins?
I think so.
There might be one other in there, but they're all from behind.
Oh, otherwise,
hence
it's just
the
it's
phrase,
only for
doggy style.
Business.
Yeah, it's, yeah. Animals are like, we're not doing this for fun. We're doing this to procreate and further our species.
Mm-hmm.
And then humans are like, we're going to change the game.
Let's make out.
Man. I just grossed myself out.
What? Your face just paused. What flashed before your mind?
I thought about animals making out.
Oh, yeah. It's gross. It would be like when you see an animal going like on like a snack that you feed it, like, or like, you know, when the giraffe's tongue goes to your hand at the petting zoo, but with each other.
Yeah. I thought about like monkeys making out with each other.
Isn't that what we look like, though, at the end of the day?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It doesn't look good. No.
No one wants to see that.
Mm-mm. The South Texas town of San Antonio saw a rash of giant bird sightings in 1976. The white-feathered creature was said to have a wingspan as wide as a full car, or around 15 feet. Talon impressions in the ground measured a foot long and nearly 10 inches wide. However, this giant bird wasn't described as a turkey. According to Cryptid Wiki, a local resident told the newspaper,
"Looked like a stork or a pelican-type bird."
Christ.
That's probably one of those sandhill cranes.
Yeah, it could be. I would say a pelican, though, that big, you could put a person in its face.
Yes,
its
you
beak.
Could. The sandhill crane, that bird, gets a bad rap. It can't just do what it can't just fly around doing what it wants to do. It's always getting mislabeled as a cryptid. Mm-hmm. People are scared of it. It's just a big bird.
How hurtful that you fly somewhere and everywhere you go, they're like, monster. There needs to be a kid's book about acceptance and love. And it's like, it ain't easy being a sandhill crane.
You know what? We have Tommy and the Spider as one of our children's books.
There's
Let's
several.
Add this on. We're going to start a whole children's book line.
Of
I think
learning,
that's pretty on brand.
Yeah, learning lessons through monsters.
Learning lessons through cryptids.
Mm-hmm.
Sinisterhood, we'll be right back.
In 1977, a young boy in Lawndale, Illinois, was picked up by an enormous bird, supposedly with a 4-foot body and an 8-foot wingspan, and carried away over 30 feet according to Cryptid Wiki. Could some enormous bird explain the origin of the gobble-squatch legend? Would an enormous turkey even be able to fly? Wild turkeys can fly, albeit not very high, even though domesticated turkeys cannot. So perhaps in addition to dodging the huge thundering beast on foot, we also need to watch the skies for a giant flying bird and its dangerous flailing waddle as we celebrate this Thanksgiving.
As if 2020 wasn't bad enough, now we have to watch.
Now we got to worry about this gobble-squatch. If it's true that this boy was carried away by a giant bird, that is horrifying.
Can you imagine as the parents and you don't have a BB gun or something to take it out of the sky?
Oh, that's terrifying. I mean, I have heard of people seeing like their small dogs get carried off by birds. And that alone is horrifying. Gosh, that makes me sad thinking about it.
That's why I never take the goose to the forest.
That's to the forest that we live around. Right. The mini forest in East Dallas.
You know, there's like camping and stuff. I've had friends take their, you know, they like Catahoula leopard dogs or whatever. And when we all go camping as friends, like take those dogs. That dog, Buffy, she would be fine in the woods. But the goose, she is prey.
Yeah, she is, from like an owl.
Yes.
Or really anything out there.
She looks like a fat, juicy rat.
Although, as soon as they got close to her, I think they'd be like, fuck this. We don't want any part of this.
Her bad attitude is like enough. So, yeah, that's it. I can't imagine a kid getting carried off. Especially, you know, it says a young boy. Let's say he's 5 to 10 years old. I mean, that's a, 30 to 70 pound kid? It's a strong ass bird.
Ella's almost 3, and we weighed her the other day, and she was, I'm getting her inches and her weight mixed up. To be the age where those two things were that close together. I want to say she's like 30 pounds.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, yeah, that'd be a big ass bird that'd be able to lift her up and carry her away.
Horrifying.
Yeah.
That ain't no sandhill crane, I'll tell you that.
Mm-mm. So what do we think?
Well, I think there's probably been enormous birds throughout history.
I saw some big-ass grackles in a front yard the other day driving around, and I was like, those look like something out of the Dark Crystal. They were so huge.
Ravens or crows or something over here that just scream constantly.
Yeah, this is what these look like. They were unsettling how large they were.
Got a glandular case.
So I agree that there could definitely be large birds that people hear, the thunderbirds. You hear their big old wings, and that's scary.
Yeah, especially echoing through like mountains or valleys or, you know, in a less populated area. But as for the old gobble-squatch, if he exists, you know, let's leave him be. He sounds like he's caring for the environment and helping
and
stop
now
deforestation.
And now he's teamed up with Bigfoot, which is a duo that I'm not going to break up.
No, and Bigfoot's been out on his own or her own. We'll get to Bigfoot. Apparently. So we can get to Bigfoot and some Bigfoot research.
Oh, that's true. Well, we'll go ahead and maybe tease that Bigfoot is our next episode after the Thanksgiving Day Murders episode. And we didn't even know at the time that these two were tied together. That's just serendipity.
It was fate. Somebody who's seen a lady Bigfoot described seeing today's.
Oh,
some hairy Bigfoot hoots.
Yeah. You know what? I hope there's both. Or I just hope there's more than one so they have a community, much like the flamingos, and that they can have friends and partners and stuff. And I bet Bigfoots make love face-to-face.
That's right. You have to. So get a hold of them titties. Bigfoot hoots. But if there is a gobble-squatch, I hope that they have a I mean, if they're laying eggs and have nests, then hopefully there's some kind of mate for them. But if it's smaller than them, I hope the mate is on top.
I do think if the gobble-squatch, unless they're very elusive, was real, some hunters would have found these giant eggs and birds and somebody be eating a 500-pound turkey for Thanksgiving.
You need a big oven for that.
Yeah, you'd feed a small village off a 500-pound turkey.
Yeah, I think humans are monsters. They would have found the ultimate monster.
I did find some fun pictures online of proof of the Goggle Squatch. Yes. And most of it was just fancy cars with giant Photoshopped feathers on top of it.
Yeah, that's you know what? They need to take it down to old Burger's Paint and Body Shop.
That's true.
Burger's Top Service Body Shop.
Yes, if you're in the Coos Bay, Oregon area, I hope I'm saying that right. If not, I apologize to the people of Coos Bay, Oregon.
I'm pretty sure it's Coos Bay. That's what Zeke in the commercial said. Okay, so if we're wrong, then Zeke's wrong too. And if Zeke's wrong, I don't want to be right.
That's absolutely.
Sinister Hood will be right back.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to our November minisode. We are now caught up on our minisodes. Yay! Woo-hoo! That's enough to be thankful for this Thanksgiving season. And we are so thankful for you and all of your support, especially during these trying times. We couldn't do this without you. Please enjoy whatever your Thanksgiving looks like this year. And please enjoy some dressing. Someone on Patreon said, I love that you guys call it dressing because I think they were from the north. They all call it stuffing. And I said, well, we call it stuffing if it's stuffed inside the bird.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's just on the plate, then it's dressing.
Correct. Dressing. Turkey mm-hmm. dressing.
Another Patreon message today and said that her granny was from Abilene and she always loved her pea salad and that the only way to go was Le Sueur peas. And I'm like, hell to the yeah.
Granny knows.
Granny. And that's what my grandmother we called granny too. Mm-hmm. So
I had a granny.
Granny, yeah. What was your other one called?
Maymaw.
That's Tommy has a, he had grandma and Meemaw. Okay. Meemaw is still alive.
I had a Maymaw, a Maymaw and Papaw, and then Granny.
I had Granny and Papa, and then Big Bill was my mom's dad.
Mm.
And I never knew, her mom passed away when she was in her, when my mom was in her 20s, so I never knew her. And Big Bill's wife was a monster that none of us liked. So we all just called her
big,
Helen.
Big bitch. What does yeah. Ella call your mom?
Grandma.
Nice.
Yeah. My mom wanted to be called something. She didn't want to be called Granny.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't really feeling Grandma. I don't remember. There was something she kind of wanted. And I'm like, I think it's kind of up to Ella, though.
Yeah.
For the longest time, Ella called my mom Lucy, which is my mom's dog's name.
Oh, great.
So I thought that was just going to be her name. She'd be like, I want to go see Lucy. I'm like, do you mean Grandma or the actual dog? But now she differentiates. And George, my father-in-law, is Papa.
Okay, that's good. Those are both good. Papa and Grandma.
What I always found interesting, like Tommy's granddad, who was, it wasn't Papa, Papa.
Yeah.
But some of the other cousins called him something else.
Mm.
So I always thought that was interesting when like you would get a bunch of family members together and grandkids would be calling the same grand person different names.
We need consistency. Yeah. Our family was consistent except for, so our generation all called my Maymaw Maymaw. And then when the grandkids started having kids, the oldest of the great grandkids called her Grandma Whitehair because he had a grandma and then he called Grammy. And so it was like confusing. So and Grammy had blonde hair and Mama had white hair. So he called her Grandma White Hair and she thought it was very funny and loved it.
Well, also that's not their grandma. That's their great grandma.
Yeah. So he called her Grandma White
Hair. Yeah. So like Tommy's grandma, he and his siblings called Grandma, but then my sister-in-law's kids called her Gigi for great grandma.
Oh, that makes sense.
So, yeah. So,
yeah. It's just, you know what? It's fun to create nicknames.
It is. Sadly, none of my grandparents are alive anymore.
Me neither.
If you have them, hold on to them, you guys.
Send them virtual love.
Yeah. Maybe don't hold on to them literally this Thanksgiving. Because they're old and let's all be careful right now.
Stuff out there.
Send them a Gobble Squatch card. Who doesn't want that?
Well, thank you for taking that delightful trip back in time with us. We hope learning about the Gobblesquatch added a little joy, curiosity, and possibly confusion to your turkey day.
I say just go all out and bring it up at Thanksgiving and just be like, this is real. You all haven't listened. Gaslight your family is what I'm saying. Yeah. Use this to gaslight your family. And if you want more minisodes like this one, plus over 1,000 hours of bonus content, live streams, the whole archive, don't forget, now through the end of November, you can get 20% off a new annual membership with the code November. Just go to patreon.com/sinisterhood and join at whatever tier fits you best.
Yeah, 20% off all new memberships, code November, now through November 30th. You can also join for free to see we're up to next just by becoming a free member. You just sign onto Patreon, enter your email address. You get immediate access to Sunday Scaries, all the backlog of that. And there's a whole backlog of catalog stuff for free members. And every month, Tommy sends out an archived audio content. Bonus content for free members too, just to say thanks.
Just to say thanks for hanging around and being part of that community. Well, head over to sinisterhood.com, click shop on the top banner to do your other holiday shopping. You can get merch like t-shirts, mugs, totes, stickers, and even clothes for your kiddos. Don't forget, if you're in the ruling the airwaves and getting into a tier, check the pinned post on Patreon for your discount code. It's one more thing you get with a Patreon membership.
You do. While you're on our website, you can also review the show. Thank you so much to everyone who's left such kind words and 5 stars. Seriously, during this thankful season, we are so very thankful for everyone. Whether you've left a review, you've listened to the show, you've shared it, you sent us a kind DM, you've come to a live show, whatever it may be, we literally could not do what we do, which is living our dream without all of you. So thank you so very much for, since 2018, since pre Gobblesquatch COVID lockdown 2020, you guys have been supporting us and we couldn't be more thankful. So thank you so very much. And while you're sitting around with your family this Thanksgiving and they're like, they have more of these weird ass type of episodes, we got you. Just go to sinisterhood.com/playlist and you can show them all the different types of categories of stuff we cover.
Yeah, we love it. And you can follow us over on Instagram and Threads at Sinisterhood Pod. Like us on Facebook at Sinisterhood. And follow us over on TikTok and YouTube at Sinisterhood Podcast to watch clips from the episodes, live streams, and more. And as for this holiday season, if you are looking for a unique and personal gift for the Sinisterhood fan in your life, there's no better gift than a cameo. You can also treat yourself to a holiday pep talk. Shit gets dark at the holiday season. I feel you. I know that the winter blues are a real thing for me, and sometimes a pep talk's a helpful thing. We love to do tarot pulls for people. Maybe you're starting a new gig or you have a New Year's resolution, something like that. Book a cameo now, from happy birthdays to birth announcements to Merry Christmas to Happy Hanukkah, everything in between. We would love to celebrate with you with a customized video. It's thoughtful. It's perfect for when you don't know what to get them, because no matter what, even if they've gotten a cameo before, every cameo is different and you can order it.
I guarantee you that. Oh, after isn't this last one that we did.
Oh my God, it was our first double Corn Skull McGruff cameo. There was,
for the second time, Heather donned the full body Corn Skull costume and had McGruff. So, I mean, that was the first, but you could make it a second or request even more unhinged items that we have to be in it.
Oh, it's our favorite. Go to cameo.com/sinisterhood to get the gift that's going to make him go, what is this again? Where can people find you? Yeah, thank you. Do I need to send a report about this? No, where can people find you online?
I'm on Instagram and Threads at Christy M. Wallace and TikTok at Christy or GTFO. Heather?
I'm everywhere on the internet at Heather versus the World.
As always, the devil and the Gobblesquatch rules the airwaves.
Keep it creepy. Thank you, everybody, for supporting the show on Patreon. Here are your special Patreon shout-outs. Liz G.,
Rebecca Johnson,
Meows Isley,
and Grace Duggery. Thank you so much for supporting the show. We could not do this without you. We are so very thankful and supportive of all your love and support. We hope we pronounced your names correctly. We hope this is a real cat. Stay safe, stay healthy, and keep it creepy.
Meow. Sinisterhood.